Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, hence the show name Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program, each and every one of you, no matter how you're tuning in, if you are a radio listener, podcast listener, video podcast watcher, television show watcher, however you're listening, wherever you're listening, we are grateful for you doing so. I am joined by the Corner Contingent, right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, and in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, the real J Mac. Ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program on a day where tragedy has once again struck our country, this time in Minnesota. We're going to get to that in a little while. I know I say it daily, but it's resonating at a minimum with me differently today, as many of you at this very moment are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality. Understand the primacy that God places on family. Of the three institutions that God established and recorded for our benefit, those institutions being the civil government, the church, and the family, there's one that he established before all the others, and that is the family at the center, with one man married to one woman for life with capacity to bear offspring. There are lots of things that we can do, but one thing we have been commanded to do, and that is to make disciples. And when I say we, the we I'm referring to is the body of Christ. We've been commanded to execute our King's commission, making disciples of all nations, of all ethnos, teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded us to obey. That commission execution should begin right in our own homes. Too often, many of us neglect our own homes in an effort to be fruitful and faithful in every other context, but to the neglect of our own families and our own homes. And I simply want to encourage you to refuse to allow that to be your testimony. There is a reason the Lord instructed his disciples to execute his commission, starting first in Jerusalem and working from there into Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. It's not as if all of the apostles' families were based in Jerusalem, but simply what Jesus was articulating is that you start from a home base. You start at home base and work outwardly from there. We will never, never be able to out-politic, out-vote, out-Supreme Court opinion, courtroom argument, or even out-church deficiencies that abound in the home. That's just a simple reality, guys. The mess that we're in nationally, there's only one way forward, and that is through repentance. That is through repentance. So as you're listening to this show or watching the show right now, I want to encourage you to serve our Lord and King well, starting at home. If you are a husband, start with your wives. If you're a wife, start with your husbands. If you have children in your home, start with your children thereafter. If you're in a different life stage, you have grandchildren, You never want to usurp the authority of the parents, but to work with the parents to fortify your families. And by God's grace, you would be a part of establishing a multi-generational legacy of faithfulness to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that will have the outsized impact of influencing our nation from your neck of the woods. To the word of God we go, Hosea chapter 7, Hosea chapter 7, verse 10. Hosea is described as a minor prophet, not because minor means insignificant, simply because his writing was shorter than other prophets. Chronologically, actually, he's one of the earliest, if not the earliest, minor prophets. He ministered during the reigns of subsequent kings of Judah and kings of Israel. And there's a verse in chapter 7, verse 10, that I want to present to you that I believe it's worth consideration, especially a day like today. In Hosea chapter 7, verse 10, the word of God says this: though the pride of Israel testifies against him, yet they have not returned to the Lord their God, nor have they sought him for all this. In this portion of Hosea's book, his writings, he articulated numerous negative things that have transpired in Israel, that had befallen them repeatedly with intensity, that caused great, 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 great suffering. And the prophet Hosea pointed out the fact that in the midst of all of that, the Israelites sought refuge everywhere except in turning to their God. I'm presenting this because it seems that that is what's happening in our society. We have people pushing fervently, passionately forward for an establishing, you know, a modicum of greatness and goodness in America, but one small component that's not small. It actually, in my view, is the largest component that's being excluded from consideration. And that is the necessity for us to repent, man. We have another scenario, and I'm going to get into this later. This show where you have this wicked young person who knows what all has contributed to his position. I'm saying him intentionally. I'll explain why I'm saying him. And predictably, y'all know how it's going to go. Y'all know the drill. Regressives are going to run to gun control. You know, well-meaning people are going to run to, we need to do more to fortify the schools. You know, I'm from a city where it's like East Side High and Lean On Me. When students show up, they got to walk through metal detectors. Can I just tell you something? The presence of metal detectors don't contribute to a notion of safety in an educational institution. I've been saying this a lot lately. I feel like Paul saying, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" The ratio of guns to American citizens has not changed since our founding. Yet we have ascending violence. What has happened? The Bible has already told us. Where do murders come from? It comes from a wicked heart. How long will we continue to allow a Darwinist worldview to evangelize our society where there's nothing significant or nothing that bears any type of sanctity concerning human life, where we are, you know, injecting our children with all manner of poisons? And the poisons are not merely physical, the ideological poisons, where parents have to sue to protect their young children from going to school and having activist so-called educators, and I don't mean everybody, I'm talking about the Supreme Court case out of Maryland when the school district says, I don't care what you want, parents, we are going to inject the LGBTQIAP plus panoply of ideology into your child no matter what you say. All kinds of confusion, sexuality run amok, as Everett Piper, who's been a guest on this program, said, we are treating ourselves not as if we are made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. We're functioning as if we are in the Imago Dog. And you think none of that has any consequences? We're teaching our children as if it's gospel. That in the beginning, nothing banged. Explain that. With all of our laws of thermodynamics and the scientific method and all of these things, you want to tell children that nothing banged and posit that as if it's scientific orthodoxy. Guys, our greatest and most enduring need in the United States of America is repentance. In order for that need to be realized, the people of God have got to get out of this notion to where we are embarrassed or ashamed or intimidated away from proclaiming the truth. What has happened in our society, there's a devaluation of human life because we have rejected God by and large. You can play these games all you want. Well, Abraham, we don't have a theocracy. I don't want a theocracy in which people are compelled by force to follow Christ, but I am not going to hold my tongue and act as if there is any such thing as neutral. There is no such thing as neutral. By depriving children of a worldview shaping that has as a component at the core a foundational knowledge and understanding of God and who He is, we are not educating people. We are cultivating weapons of mass destruction. Because there's no such thing as neutral. Science isn't neutral. Linguistics isn't neutral. This is why you have, you know, these media outlets that want to create these standardized lexicons. Oh, you can't say a pregnant woman. You have to say birthing people. Why do you think they do that? Because they want to train the populace to think in line with their worldview without actually going through the intellectual argumentation necessary to convey what they're really saying. They reduce it to having, stop me if you heard this before, politically correct language. So by requiring the masses to say birthing people, what they're saying is that there is no such thing as a uniqueness that is exclusively designed for women, that women and women alone can have babies. We have gotten to this place by categorically rejecting the reality that life is sacred because people are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God regardless of what you do with your life. The man that is a vagrant and a panhandler under the bridge is made in the image of God. The nuclear physicist is made in the image of God. The attorney is made in the image of God. The sanitation engineer is made in the image of God. Humankind must respect one another. The horizontal respect derives from the fact that each person has been stamped with the image of the almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful creator. Because we have rejected that as a foundational premise societally, people seek to resolve or address their grievances, disagreements, or even to express personal pain by inflicting pain and wounding and in horrible circumstances, even murdering others. Guys, we have to repent in our nation.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Spend time in God's Word every single day. There's so much God will do in us and through us as we fill our hearts and our minds with God's Word every single day. It empowers us to be effective witnesses for Christ. The Holy Spirit will reach through us and speak through our words, our actions, our attitude, even when you don't realize that's what's going on. Filling up with the Word of God is filling up with the Spirit of God. Parents, if you're not having your children read 3 chapters aloud to you every day, I do hope that you'll start that habit too, because there's nothing our children need more than the powerful Word of God. And when parents are wise enough to help pour and deposit the wonderful Word of God in their hearts and their minds every single day, there's nothing that'll bless our children more than His powerful, powerful Word. There's so much God will do in us and through us as we fill our hearts and our minds with God's Word every single day.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I'm sure many of you have heard by now about this tragedy that struck in Minnesota, in the Minneapolis area, at Annunciation Catholic Church, which is connected to Annunciation Catholic School, to where you have a young man who, according to reports, was 23 years old. His mother formerly worked at the school, Annunciation Catholic School, although according to reports, she'd retired in 2021. It is, if you've been following this show for a while, you know, it is my practice that I don't say the names of these murderers, because often they are looking for glorification. And I just refuse to be a part of that. One of the things that is being reported, and I'll read to you the tweet from Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, when she said, she posted this at 2:42 p.m. this afternoon, quote, "We have confirmation that the shooter at Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was a 23-year-old man claiming to be transgender. There are reports that this murderer attempted to change his name and go by a name that sounded a bit more feminine. According to the reports, it's been confirmed that 2 children ages 8 and 10 were murdered inside of the Catholic Church. 17 others, 14 of which were also children, were injured in this shooting. The murderer used, according to these reports, a pistol, a rifle, and a shotgun, barricaded the church from the outside, preventing anybody from exiting, and started shooting from the outside of the church through a window. According to these reports, this murderer apparently uploaded a YouTube video ahead of the shooting, in which he showed what appears to be a manifesto numerous times, displayed his arsenal of weapons, in which he had some of the weapons in the magazines marked with certain verbiage, some of which I cannot repeat on these airwaves, but they included, quote, "Where is your God? Kill Donald Trump." In the video, he's also alleged to have stated, quote, "I'm sorry to my family, but that's it. That's the only people I'm sorry to. Expletive those kids," end quote. Of course, he didn't say expletive, but y'all know why I'm saying expletive. In the video, he also displayed, in the YouTube video before the shooting, I'm saying, displayed drawings of what appeared to be the interior of Annunciation Catholic Church. And when he came to that page of the drawings, he began stabbing it with a knife. And concluded that video by stating, quote, "That's all I do. I fall, I break, and I die." At the scene of the murders, the murderer, quite cowardly, according to these reports, turned the gun upon himself and murdered and killed himself at the conclusion of his murderous rampage. Here's a brief clip from the local news agency in the area. It's clip number 8. Clip number 8. Go.
5 Eyewitness News, from speaking with multiple sources, has identified the suspect today as 23-year-old Robin Westman. We do have a photo of this person that I want to show you now. Again, we've been working this over the last several hours, as you might imagine, and this came in as a tip. The photojournalist and I came out here, I would say, about 90 minutes ago, still working information on that tip, and found this area already taped off, multiple agents on scene. The BCA is here, other law enforcement is here, and they've been coming and going for about the last 90 minutes. But again, to confirm what 5 Eyewitness News has learned from multiple sources, the suspect here, 23-year-old Robin Westman, this was the last known address.
Now, as I mentioned, I'm not in the habit of sharing names. According to the reports, his real name was Masculine. This is heartbreaking, man. This is heartbreaking. Thinking about the show we did last week with my man David McGee, talking about the things that he's facing with the youth that he's endeavoring to minister to, and we see things like this, and I know government is not the source of shaping and cultivating hearts and minds primarily. So I don't expect members of government to understand what needs to be done. But my concern is for the people in our nation. Similar to what Hosea said, all of these things unfold, yet the people of Israel still didn't turn to God. I earlier this week talked about George Washington in his farewell address, when he talked about all of the things that can be done. There's one thing that is indispensable, man. That is indispensable to the preservation of our nation. And I loathe to hear the way that this would be unfolded. And y'all know the drill. Similar to the murderer in Covenant at the Covenant Presbyterian School last year, as soon as the liars in our media recognize that, oh, no, we want to get rid of this story, this narrative doesn't fit the way we want to spin the whole gun control thing, we don't want it. We don't want people to be aware of people that are struggling and wrestling with their identities. That frustration with embracing their God-given design, that it can have that. By the way, that same frustration with their God-given design that we used to identify as a mental pathology. And I'm going to continue to stress that. We as a society recognized that when you had people that violated God's order sexually and with their identities, that we recognized that these people were ill. And when I say ill, I'm not using that as an excuse to absolve them of their conduct. But we now as a society are attempting to say what God has said is abominable. and what God has said is problematic, we are as a society saying, no, everything is fine. Nope, there's no problem with it. And so when the ache of the human heart manifests itself in heinous, tragic circumstances, and don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. I'm not limiting this commentary to the phenomenon of mass shootings. All right? This is indicative of just how callous we become as a society. It's mass shootings that gets national attention, but you have individuals getting shot every day and every night. We don't even think about that. Like, that's not how it used to be in our country, folks. That's not how it used to be. It's not normal for 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds to grow up and learn, hey, I got to keep my head on a swivel. You never know when somebody get popped around here. That's not normal. But it happens with such frequency that we've embraced as normal what's not normal. You know, it's as predictable as the sunrise and sunset. The Labor Day weekend is coming up. Countdown until Q5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to the stories of how many got shot at some event in Chicago over the Labor Day weekend. And, you know, you pick your urban, your inner city. You pick it. How many got in New Orleans? How many in Memphis? How many? And we just collectively shrug our shoulders and, you know, big city, violent crime. You know how it goes. Oh, yeah, yeah. But crime in Chicago is down, you see. Down from where? Down from what? You know, okay, so if you're having 1,000 murders a year, you're down to 800 a year, and that's improvement? That's not the specific statistics, folks. I'm just using that hypothetically. We're going to repeat these same things. Remember the burn, loot, murder, BLM folks? Oh, they don't show up unless a police officer is involved. But the truth is, that's a very rare occurrence. But you know it's not rare? But we just accept it and go on. And we 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 go on. And nobody will stand up and say, hey, what has happened to our value for human life? From conception until natural death. From the most vulnerable children among us all the way to the elderly among us. No, you know why? Because we have societies, and you know, like Canada is further along the line than us in this regard. You know, but they're having, you know, legalized euthanasia. If they want to, hey, what's guys? There's a difference between liberty and autonomy. We are conflating autonomy with liberty. Liberty is the freedom to function within the parameters that God has established. Autonomy sounds a lot like and they did whatever was right in their own eyes. Whatever was right in their own eyes. Guys, that is not liberty. That's a formula for self-annihilation. I mentioned not too long ago, the U.S. reproduction rate has reduced to the lowest it's ever been. Anybody paying attention to that? And this is why the body of Christ has to understand normality is not defined by what is popular. That is the way the world defines normality. But for us, normality is not defined by what is popular. Normality is defined by what is true according to God's word. And so what I'm saying simply is that we have by and large become desensitized to the heinous assault upon God's image in mankind. Which is why we only respond if there's a mass shooting event. Which is why we don't blink at the idea of in our society. You talking about selling dope, selling drugs. They slinging dope to kill babies through the mail. Even in states where you don't have the clinical, surgical baby murdering facilities, they're still selling the pills. And I made this point last night at Pastor Joseph's Pregnancy Care and Hope Center's banquet, that we don't even recognize the connection. One of the major things that God has designed to enable his bearers to transition from an adolescent, self-absorbed, self-focused, self-centered existence is taking on oneself the responsibility of a family and children. When the Lord moved me from being an unmarried adult male to taking on the responsibility of a wife and taking on the responsibility of a child, that was the last day I had the luxury to only consider myself when making decisions. And as God would have it, the maturation to consider others before oneself is foundational to being a well-functioning adult. But no, we deny that, and unsurprisingly, and I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody, but we have this massive phenomenon now where you have untold numbers of adults, males in particular, that want to do nothing but play video games. And we're wondering what's going on. And then we have a society that will affirm this protraction of adolescence. And we don't recognize the connection. And while this is transpiring, the soul of our nation is being hollowed out, because the concept of somebody being murdered to the majority of the people in the United States of America is a collective shrug. Well, where was it? Oh, it was one of those inner cities. Well, you know how it happens. They just murder each other all the time. Oh, what happened? Oh, well, you know, you have this shooting in Tennessee. At the Presbyterian school, that wasn't an inner city shooting. What I'm trying to help us to see is to get out of this concept of thinking about this solely in balkanized political lines, and to recognize what has happened to us at the core. It shouldn't be a collective shoulder shrug when we have people who are heinous to one another with repetitious disregard for anyone. And as I'm saying this, I know there are newsrooms all around the country that already started their fill in the blank. This many were killed over the Labor Day weekend at this event in this city, in this city, in this city. And the collective shrug continues. Our greatest and most desperate need in society, man, is repentance. The only way forward for us as a nation is repentance.
God is at work, and he's calling his people to rise in truth. Truth Rising is a powerful new documentary from Focus on the Family and the Colson Center. See how ordinary Christians choose courage in a culture that needs truth. Watch Truth Rising starting September 5th and find out how you can be a part of the change and become an agent of restoration. Sign up at truthrising.com. That's truthrising.com.
American Family Radio is now available on iOS and Apple TV apps. That means even our content is in the world, but not of the world.
Here's where both of you, or each of you, got it right and wrong according to Scripture. That's always our plumb line.
And you can download these apps free from your favorite app store.
The objective is to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.
AFR, available on iOS and Apple TV. And you can find even more app options at afr.net/apps.
Trustworthy Bible. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. The Bible claims to be the inspired Word of God. 2 Peter 1 says, "No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." God inspired 40 men to write the 66 books of the Bible over a span of about 1,500 years on three continents in three languages. The original manuscripts no longer exist, so can we trust our modern English translations to be anything like the original? The answer is yes. When comparing the thousands of copies of the Old and New Testaments, the accuracy is substantively identical. Hear our most recent program on the trustworthiness of the Bible at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. There's some pretty big news that's big in my view, and I explain why this is big, that is happening, which seems to be an about-face, really, from the Trump administration concerning the Shmovit injection. And I'll explain what I mean. So here's the report. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention under President Trump has launched a study group to examine vaccine injuries, including Shmovid vaccine injuries. Now, there have been other things. You had a VAERS database and other things, but those things were external to the official government apparatus. And President Trump, even during his campaign, refused to kind of back away from the Shmovid injections being a mistake. You know, he touted Operation Warp Speed, and that was one of the things that I said was a weakness during the primary season, because, you know, there's this little thing called reality in life that is not merely politics, but there is reality. And so this vaccine injury immunization work group will examine, quote, vaccine-related injuries, deaths, hospitalizations, disabilities, and the effects of repeated booster doses. Operating under the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, the study group will also scrutinize the risk that the coronavirus vaccine poses to pregnant women, who, like many others, were also coerced into taking the vaccine during the Shmovid pandemic. And I would add, right now, as people are going back to school, college students are going back to university, and many universities require Shmovid injections for students to be enrolled in their schools. And even though we have lots of data to the contrary, this follows a congressional hearing that was led by Senator Ron Johnson, actually several hearings, and some of the information that is being brought to the foreground was included in testimony during those hearings. But before we get to the hearings, I want to show you a clip from an interview from Dr. Joel Walsklog, who is an orthopedic surgeon who explains that he was perfectly healthy until after he took his Shmovid shot. He took one dose of the Moderna Shmovid shot, and he suffered what's called transverse myelitis. I had to look that up because I'm not a doctor, which is inflammation of the spinal cord, his spine, following one dose of the Moderna shot. Listen to and watch Dr. Joel Walsklog. It's clip number five. Clip five, go.
Our next guest is an orthopedic surgeon who says he had to stop working after developing a severe inflammation of the spinal cord after getting his first COVID vaccine. He has since been traveling the country trying to help others in similar situations. Now he is set to talk to students at Dartmouth College about vaccine mandates. Dr. Joel Walsklog joins us now. Doctor, so great to have you on. Tell us briefly what happened to you and why you believe it is the COVID vaccine that caused this injury to you and your spine.
Well, good morning, Rachel, and thank you for having me. I was a completely healthy 50-year-old person with really no medical problems until about 7 days after my first, or I should say one and only Moderna shot that I received on December 30th of 2020.
Yeah.
So I was completely otherwise healthy until 7 days after the shot.
Yeah. And that is the story of so many other people who have had vaccine injuries. You're part of that community. What happens to people like you? You take the vaccine, your government in many cases forces you to take this vaccine, your hospital perhaps, your job, and so you can make a living. And then you suddenly, you know, have these health problems you never had before. What happens next? Who takes responsibility for this?
Yeah, that's the big problem, Rachel. And really what happens is you're abandoned.
I want you to hear next Dr. Andrew Sullivan, who is a physician and a board-certified anesthesiologist who was extremely healthy before he got multiple doses of the Shmovid injection. And he explains how after he took the Shmovie shot, how his health was impaired. Listen to and watch Dr. Sullivan in clip number seven. Clip seven, go.
Our next witness is Dr. Robert Sullivan. And Dr. Sullivan is a licensed physician and board-certified anesthesiologist over 20 years of active practice in Maryland. He is here today to talk about his vaccine injury following his COVID-19 injection. Dr. Sullivan.
Thank you, Senators. My story is not as bad. The same month I received my first COVID mRNA shot, I was featured in the Wall Street Journal's What's Your Workout column for Aerial Circus Arts. I was strong, healthy, and thriving. Just 3 weeks after my second dose, I couldn't go up a flight of stairs without gasping for air. I became short of breath doing even simple things, walking, standing, even speaking. I had constant chest pressure, arrhythmias, and overwhelming fatigue. I cannot overstate the misery. It felt like my body was failing me. I was experiencing right heart failure. Still, I questioned myself. Was this real or in my head? Then an echocardiogram confirmed the damage. I was relieved that it wasn't imagined and stunned to realize this is how I likely die.
Dr. Sullivan went on in his testimony to say, quote, the diagnosis was pulmonary hypertension. I had damage and narrowing of the blood vessels in my lungs, restricting blood flow and straining the heart. This isn't like regular high blood pressure. Pulmonary hypertension is usually progressive and fatal, even with treatment. There is no cure. I felt like a death sentence. End quote. That's what Dr. Sullivan said. Then you have Ms. Christine Tarsell, who is a retired psychotherapist and was the former president of Licensed Clinical Professional Counselors of Maryland. She shares testimony, and Dr. Sullivan's clip that you just heard was during Senator Ron Johnson's hearing. Ms. Emily Tarsell's testimony was during this hearing as well. She shares her testimony of her 20-year-old daughter, Christine, who took the HPV vaccine, Gardasil. That's what she says. And subsequent to taking the vaccine, her 20-year-old daughter was found dead in her college dormitory. Listen to Ms. Tarsell's testimony, a clip of her testimony. It's clip number six. Clip six, go.
Our first witness is Ms. Emily Tarsell. Ms. Tarsell is a retired psychotherapist and former president of the Licensed Clinical Professional Counselors of Maryland. She's here today to talk about her daughter, Christina. Ms. Tarsell.
Chairman Johnson and committee members, thank you for this important hearing. My name is Emily Tarsell. I'm a retired psychotherapist and a mom. I was blessed with Christina, a healthy, bright child who grew to be a beautiful, caring person, gifted athlete, artist, honor student. In 2008, my 20-year-old daughter had her first GYN appointment. The doctor recommended the HPV vaccine, and we were told it was safe and effective and would prevent cervical cancer. We were not given any literature. We were not told of any adverse side effects. Ads conveyed a sense of urgency about getting Gardasil before exposure to HPVs. So Chris had always gotten the childhood vaccines and agreed to the shots. After vaccination, my daughter developed new conditions: joint pain, chronic sinus congestion, intermittent rashes, rapid heartbeat, dizziness on standing, unusual fatigue, and arrhythmia. We saw doctors, and Chris had an EKG, which came back normal. So we thought everything was okay. We later learned that this was the wrong test and Chris should have had a Holter monitor. No one connected the dots because even doctors are uninformed of vaccine adverse events. She continued with the shots, and 18 days after the third shot, she was found dead in her bed at college.
The CDC study group will be chaired by Dr. Retsef Levi, who is an MIT professor and expert in analytics, risk management, and health systems. Dr. Levi has built a reputation for boldly challenging the CDC's outdated ways, who has pressed CDC officials on uncomfortable questions, challenging the narrow surveillance windows used to track harms and insisting that delayed effects could not simply be ruled out, end quote. The reason why this is significant, as I mentioned before, is that this seems to be an about face from the Trump administration, to where it is a CDC initiative to try to figure out how vaccine injury plays out. And thankfully, not every single person has suffered these kinds of events. But we can't deny that so many have suffered events. While we're on the show, there are people commenting right now in the chat about, you know, their own doctors saying that the Schmovid injection caused the development of acute bronchitis. Another friend who took an injection during pregnancy miscarried a baby following having taken the shot. In my own family, and y'all know we tried to warn people. In my own family, there were people who said that we had no problems prior to getting these shots, and now we have heart palpitations. We have one family member who now has hives, who never had hives before, and the hives return. They're they come and go. This is just more of the recklessness concerning human life. That you had this foisted upon people, and then when people suffered negative consequences and side effects and things, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe your lying eyes. You know, Dr. Sullivan testified that, you know, he thought maybe this is all in my head. Like, how do I go from being a fit, you know, aerial acrobatist to now I can't even stand and breathe normally walking up the stairs? How does this happen? And just like that, you're not going to hear this on a lot of the front page news sites, but it's something that definitely should be considered. And it's big news. Elevations of moms miscarrying. You know, scores of young people just succumbing to heart attacks. Is that normal? I can't help but think, and I reported it, of event 201. In New York City. And the intended things. And I'm not trying to be ooh, spooky conspiratorial. But I do have a brain. So I would try to bring you as much information as we could. And yet, the social medias shut down particular shows. Remember Dr. Parks? Guys, there's a wicked and callous disposition concerning life. And you can say what you want, but there are people who view population as inherently problematic. And their solution is to, and they try to say it in a cute fashion, reduce the stressors on our planet. say what you really mean. Well, I'll just say it this way. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood's founder, was a eugenicist. She posited eliminating babies as a means of exercising responsible life participation. Because there's no such thing as neutral, folks. When you boil things down to its lowest common denominator, the issue always comes down to whose word will govern. Is it God's word or is it man's word? That's what it always boils down to. There's no way to escape that reality. So it's incumbent upon us to assess, well, what is true, and ascribe toward what is true. And as I've said numerous times, Not all climate alarmists are depopulationists, but all depopulationists seem to also be climate alarmists. Much of what's presented as standard normative perspective really is a ruse that conceals an extremely nefarious agenda. And if we're going to rediscover an appropriate estimation for human life, that will only flow from repentance.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.